Have you done a podcast before?
No, I've been interviewed before though,
I was
but
looking up some articles or things about you, and I saw one recently about like an electric bike business or something. What's that? What is that?
Oh, it's just it was kind of my passion to electric bikes even before whatchamacallit, right about the same time that Lime started, I was going to do that, but it was just too much. The risk reward wasn't exactly there. I still have some really cool bikes. I mean, I have some fat tire ones here. I have some Harley ones and stuff. They're really cool. But as far as scaling it, the risk and reward just wasn't there for me. So I'm like, I got too much going on. You know, I do. So I just kind of scaled that. I had a location downtown
Did you?
on South Congress.
I have a Super 73.
Oh, do
I
you?
love that thing. I drive that more than anything
Yeah,
else.
exactly. Yeah. So that's an in-between bike and whatnot. I mean, you don't really use it as a bike though, right?
No.
Yeah.
It's like transportation, really,
Exactly. Yeah. So I have these baby Harleys that I could show you. They're just
Are
badass.
they?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, we'll check them out
Yeah.
for
Yeah.
sure.
But yeah, I mean I would do tours and rentals and stuff. I was down close to downtown in sales and whatnot. So I was very adept as to what was going on, but it just, no. I don't need more work.
No, I
I need
get you.
more time.
I know you got a lot going on. So
Yes.
yeah, that's why I wanted to do this, because I think it'd be great for people to really hear your story. I guess kind of get right into it. First thing I like to ask is just really like, who is Troy Foulkes?
Yeah.
Who's Troy Foulkes, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, who is Troy Foulkes? Well, he's a very passionate person that has ventured into a number of different things in life. Like I've told my children, I says, I don't care what you do, but just have a passion for it. And that's basically what I've done all of these years, being involved with landscape, going to college for landscape. It was called ornamental horticulture back then. Simply doing cutting grass from the beginning to getting experience to getting, educated in college about irrigation systems and turf and all of that normal type of stuff, landscape designs, having a passion for the tropical design. One of my businesses back in the day was called Aloha Landscape because my designs were very tropical and subtropical. Then I had a passion for flying, so I became a commercial pilot. I was going to become a pilot full time. Ended up meeting my wife and decided not to because my priority was going to be my children and my wife. So still doing the landscape business, became more construction and everything else in Southern California. And my wife and myself started a shoe business, just a very simple shoe business. And we were selling designer shoes, sport shoes, everything else. So we
When was
went,
this?
this was in 19, I would say 1993 or
Before
94.
Aloha?
No, Aloha was in the 80s, the early 80s. And then the shoe business was in the 90s, but I did both. I've always had multiple businesses going on. So I had that. We went from a small selling at the swap meet shoes to having five locations in San Diego in wholesaling and selling online. At the time we were selling on eBay, and we started online about the same time that a couple other online companies started in that kind of era, which was Amazon and also Zappos. Mm-hmm. They were also doing the same thing. But then I was working so much, growing the business, growing the online, the retail stores, the wholesale, everything else. I told my wife, I says, well, I think it's time to make a decision about my work, because I was working way too much. Mm-hmm. And the priority was the children. So by then we had Ivana. And so that had to been the year 2000 by then. And
you had like, three kids then?
Yeah, I have three now.
Or you had two then?
Right? I had two then. And I remember I says, really working a lot. And I says, that's not going to be good for the children.
Like, what were you doing work-wise then?
Well, we had the landscape business going. We were doing mostly irrigation. Mm-hmm. And natural turf, not
grass,
artificial.
Sod.
Yeah, exactly. And then we had the locations, the stores. So we had multiple retail locations. Then we had the online business. So I had people that would come and list things on eBay and whatnot and do that. Then we had our wholesale. We would wholesale to Mexico. Mm. So my day consisted of just taking care of those types of things. And I had to get up earlier and earlier because I would get to the office and then my phone would just start ringing and I couldn't.
All the problems.
Exactly. I couldn't, you know, get
you
things
this
going.
Wholesale
yeah.
deal here.
Exactly.
You had this
yeah.
irrigation problem over here.
So then basically we took a few months off and we decided that we were going to go ahead and sell everything. And even though we were doing really well, and we were going to move. And it took us a few years to decide. And then we decided to come here to Austin.
So you sold Aloha and the shoe business?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And we came out here. And then...
So what year was that? Early 2000s?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Right after Maximilian. Yeah. So that was right about 2000. And took a couple years off.
Thanks. So those first business sales were successful then?
Well, that, yeah, it's just, it's not how much you make, it's how much you spend in life.
You've always been frugal or what?
Yeah, you have to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the only way you survive.
Totally.
Yeah, yeah. So we took a couple years off to spend with the children. Again, that was a priority. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, okay, time to go back to work. And at the meantime, I was actually doing decorative concrete. You could see some of the concrete that I used to do and whatnot here, because it was just fascinating to me what the decorative concrete was. Mm-hmm. So that was just something that I did for a few years and decided
Well, obviously you went to school for landscaping, but why always like the blue collar contracting stuff?
Well, I wouldn't say that because, you know, I was a commercial pilot too.
Oh yeah.
That's true. So and then we had the retail stores, mm-hmm. you know, which is not exactly, you know, that and
so then
doing
why,
online.
Then why back to the, I guess, blue collar stuff?
I don't know why. The decorative concrete was probably just something that I enjoyed doing, and I didn't really want a lot of employees at the time, because again, I wanted the freedom to be with my children and to be dad and to go to the soccer games and to do all of that type of stuff. So I was around them a lot.
That's good.
And that was more of a priority. So it was kind of like a part-time. I really didn't want many people involved because I know what it's like to have a lot of employees and a lot of issues and everything else. And I just wasn't ready for it. So then I always liked having a very, very beautiful, nice, well-maintained yard because, again, it's my passion. Mm-hmm. And so I could never really get a true, really nice green lawn here because of the water issues, the diseases that come in. It goes dormant, you overseed, the overseeding doesn't really look that well. Mm-hmm. So did artificial grass, and that was 14 to 15 years ago.
That was Texas turf right away?
Well, it basically was artificial. It had a different name at the time.
Yeah.
But yes. So then started to do, you know, a little more and a little more, but people didn't know what it was 15 years ago.
No, yeah.
Yeah, they didn't. So then it's really improved a lot. And you fast forward a little bit, but not a whole lot. And Stefan was like, well, Dad, I don't want to do the decorative concrete, but if you want, I'm willing to work. I would like to work the artificial grass business with you. Mm. And I says, well, you're, you know, more than willing and able to. He was great with sales, Stefan was. And I says, well, that's fine. I'm willing to go ahead and push it a little bit more if that's something you would like to do. Mm-hmm. And so it was a slow start. Kind of let him be 17 years old, be 18 years old, because he really didn't want to go to college. And I says, that's fine. Mm-hmm. I says, I'm not going to force you to go to college. So he enjoyed his 17, 18 years old. At the same time, I was building a house. I built a big custom home. It took me over two years to build.
That's when you showed me, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I built that home. So that's just another, you know, another venture of what I did.
Well, it's interesting when you said, like, you know, you, Stefan was like, I want to be a part of this.
Yes.
And then you mentioned, okay, well, I can start pushing it a little bit.
Yes.
Like, that's just an interesting thought and way to say that, because some people don't even know where to start when it comes to a business. It seemed like you were like, you knew what to do.
Yes.
You're like, do I press it and do we really go for it? Or do we just hold off? So like,
yes.
What does that look like to you as far as pressing it? Like, why have all your businesses worked, do you think?
Well, I knew at the age that he was, you're only 18, 19, 20, 21 once in life, you know? And he was enjoying his life, and I was still busy with building the house. So when the jobs came in, we would have very minimal jobs at first. And I didn't want to put pressure on him to say, hey, you cannot stay up until midnight or 2 or 3 or 4 in the morning and expect to come to work and be productive. I just let him do his own thing. I let him be his age.
Yeah.
And I think it was very beneficial. So then after a few years, he was like, I want to work more. We need more jobs. I says, okay. It will happen. So
where do you think that came from?
You mean more work?
Yeah, just like
more jobs.
Yeah, him wanting to grow it.
Maturity. He realized that he has had fun.
Yeah.
But now it's time to work. Mm-hmm. And also I started to challenge him. Mm-hmm. You know, you're gonna have to put the time in, you're gonna have to put the effort in to make it happen.
Totally.
So then him and myself started to get busy.
How are you getting leads? How are you getting jobs?
Back then, I believe it was online mostly, and then it started to be referrals.
What were you doing online?
Online, you know, I don't remember, to be quite honest. It might have been just organic. We might have been on a couple of the lead finders. That
like
were out there. Yeah, we're probably on some of those various things back then. Because again, it's probably been at least 10 years or so.
Yeah.
So he started to run the leads. Mm-hmm. And I was running the warehouse, running the jobs, doing the installs, because I had all the experience with landscape. So it was kind of role reversal where he was a salesman.
Yeah.
And it was quite ironic because we would go to jobs in the early days and I would be installing and they didn't know who I was.
Yeah.
And they were like, well, Stefan said this and Stefan said that. And it's like, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Okay. But so it was funny. Nice because sometimes I would just be able to solve the problems right on spot because obviously I have the experience with, you know, running everything. So it was good. I mean, I remember back in the day, I mean, sometimes he would be putting 300 miles on, you know, on the car a day, you know, running to different estimates and stuff. So then, from there, we just gradually expanded, and have just now brought on Ivana, which, again, the same with her. She just went to college for a couple years, and it's like, Dad, you really need a good office, you know, manager. And so she didn't have any experience, but she just hit it really well. And she's kind of filled the role, and now we have another office manager to take her role. And Ivana's a natural when it comes to sales and everything else. And then I'm very blessed with Maximilian, same thing with him, who we homeschooled all of his life. And he started working for us about at 14 or so. Mm-hmm. And so now he's experience with dealing with clients, with dealing with our install crews, and now he's running the warehouse and logistics and everything else. And he's 20 years old, but he's a problem solver.
That's amazing.
And that's what it is in business. You need to just make the clients happy and you need to be there for them.
Totally.
I mean, without the clients, we're not in business.
Yeah.
So it's been fun.
Yeah, so up to, you know, a little foreshadowing, I guess, because I want to go back and still talk about kind of the come up, because I think you can share a lot of good insights and ideas for how to get through certain things, because obviously you've had hard times, right? Everybody goes through that.
Definitely,
but,
definitely.
You know, growing this business for the last 10, 15 years, what's been your biggest year? Because when people hear artificial turf.
Yes. I think that COVID was actually quite interesting because we were to the point of not knowing if we were going to do any business. Mm-hmm. I remember our install crews and whatnot. They're like, well, what are we going to do? Wear masks? Are we going to have any work? And it seemed like within a month or less of that time when everybody had to, you know, wear masks and everything, our phone just went off the hook and we were busier than we've ever been. But this year has actually been even better because we have a lot of systems in place now and we have more very good people around us. Mm-hmm. So COVID had been probably, you know, the best time because a lot of people were home, you know, as far as that goes. And now I think the exposure is really getting there with artificial grass. I mean, we've literally probably done, I'll just guess, but we've been involved with probably between 2,000 and 3,000 installs or maybe even more. I mean, some days we'll do 3 or 4 installs in one day, but then we'll do bigger jobs also.
The 2,000 installs this year?
No, just from
in total.
Yeah, okay, total. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and probably even more than that.
Yeah,
but, I
think probably more.
Yeah, yeah, I don't even know. I'm not really a numbers guy.
Yeah.
Even though you do need numbers, I am more of a get up and go every day.
Totally.
Yes, and. The chemistry, though, is very important because Stefan has his good parts, and everybody on the team, whether install team or our maintenance teams, our warehouse team, our sales team, I just try to get the best out of everybody. And I always explain that we, in the management level, like myself, we're on the sidelines, and you have various people on the team.
Yeah.
And you just have to make it happen. And
how many guys do you have?
It really depends, because we have different aspects depending on what we need and what we have going. Some of the bigger jobs, we need a lot of people, because we're doing edging, we're doing the site work, we're doing the installs. So, I mean, there's days that we probably have over 60 people that's working, at the company.
Your office guys, maintenance, or warehouse guys.
Yeah, 60 to 70 people, because, we have installs. Our turf installs, typically, there's about 20. Mm-hmm. And then we'll have our site work guys that can be up to about 10. Masonry guys that can be up to about 10. Mm-hmm. And then we have our office crew. And then we have our sales team. And then our logistics team. So there's a lot as far as that goes. What we're expanding to now, because we're able to, it's just fill in everything that we do now. So we have welders, we have overheads, we have artificial plants we're doing rockscape. So we're starting to expand where someone can just say, I want all of this. Stonework, a variety of things. So we can finish up their whole yard.
So you want to do more outdoor living?
Yes. Yes.
I like that.
Yes. So back in the 80s, before HGTV type stuff and whatnot, I really enjoyed doing something that would be mind-blowing.
Yeah.
So if we had a makeover of somebody's yard, I would get 5 or 6 times more people than necessary to do it. So the client would leave for the day, and when they came back, their whole project was done.
Yeah.
And it was like the makeover programs that they have, mm-hmm. and they would just love it. So we would do all the demo, we would do the irrigation, the plants, the mulch, the rock work, and all of that type of stuff. Mm-hmm. So we have that in-house. We have various salespeople that have been with us for a long time, which is very important.
Totally.
We always give them respect and flexibility.
Totally.
Because I let everybody know, I says, yes, you need to be accountable for what you do, but also it's a life. So we need to respect their life, and sometimes it has ebbs and flows to it. So we try to give them as much flexibility as possible.
That's something that I just kind of went through a little bit as we've grown mm-hmm. and brought on more designers.
Yes.
For like the past 5-6 months, I was holding daily meetings every day at 9 a.m.
Yes.
So just recently I kind of changed that.
Yes.
Because I felt the same way.
Yes.
I didn't want to burn anybody out.
Exactly.
And really respect them. And they kind of understood what I expect and mm-hmm. what you guys expect, like working with us, right?
Yes.
And so what we need to do and how quickly we need to move.
Yes.
And so I felt like it was time I need to step back.
Yes.
Know? I consulted one of my old bosses as well. And he's like, dude, what are you doing? You're going to burn them out. They're going to hate you. Like, how much motivation can you do every day?
Exactly.
Yeah. Totally right. All right. We'll step it back a little bit. So how did you learn all that? Like leadership and management and stuff? Just doing it or what?
Well, I guess everybody has their own philosophy.
Yeah.
You know, and there's probably not one perfect scenario when it comes to that. Mm-hmm. I'm a firm believer the proof is in the pudding, you know, And so if people are typically staying with you for quite some time, you're doing something right.
Yeah.
Yes. And I know how people like to be treated because I know how I like to be treated, you know. And I'm to the point where I let people know, if you like working here, great. If you don't, please let me know.
Yeah. And it's not good for you or me.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, something that I really hold truly is a friend of mine, my neighbor. Mm-hmm. He was a CFO at Walmart.
Oh, really?
Yes. And he saw me build my house that I built. And he told me, he says, "Troy, I've never seen anybody work as hard as you in all my years."
Wow.
And I really took that as a compliment. But what's interesting is he told me, he says, "Troy, believe it or not, here at Walmart, we've been known to really, you know, put the hammer to people." Mm-hmm. But he says, "Bottom line is, it has to be a win-win or you shake hands and walk away." And I think that's the most respectful way. And I wish that other people would be like that.
I love that.
I wish that people would be respectful like that.
Totally.
And I also wish that people would respect everybody as they respect themselves. Mm-hmm. And everybody's merchandise and everybody's just everything. There needs to be a little bit of a change, I feel, in society that you respect something even if it's not yours. Instead of this idea, it's not mine, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. No, everything matters. And I think we're starting to kind of see that here in the United States,
Totally. You
know, and I really wish that I can make a change. And that's what I have tried to do, is making a change in my small world, mm-hmm. which is my immediate family, taking responsibility for them, health-wise, financial, education.
Yeah.
And I've been so blessed with them to now work with us so we can just share and make even, quote, the world a better place by them being very grounded, giving people.
Totally.
And just kind of continue that whole thing, because that was our end goal, myself and my wife, is to try to help others. But we decided that it's kind of tough. Maybe we help our immediate family and get everything established. Thank God we're pretty well established now.
Absolutely.
And then we can start to go out and help other people.
Totally.
Because my wife is involved with another company where she's helping a lot of people through dance. That's been her passion.
Nice.
Yeah. So just another thing is getting back to the passion.
Yeah.
And Stefan is now very passionate about Texas Turf. He has a lot of experience. Mm-hmm. And did he know how big things would get? No. Yeah. I mean, we sometimes would do one job a week, you know, or whatever it was. I don't even remember, you know, two a month or something. Mm-hmm. And I says, "Son, don't worry." I says, "It'll be, you know, two a day, three a day."
How did you know that that was going to happen?
Because the snowball effect of having return clients and believing in the product. Mm-hmm. When someone can put artificial grass down, let me just give you a quick story of this one couple that I happened to go to a few years ago. They're like, "Troy, man, this is so nice." I says, "What is so nice?" They're like, "Our children were in the backyard for the first time in 10 years. We had been in this house for 10 years and the backyard was full of dirt and they never went back there. Mm. When you got done with this, they played out there till like 10 or 11 o'clock at night." So when you have that type of feedback, you know you have something right. So we actually are able to provide a product that people can actually utilize for 15, 20 years. And so people are very, very happy with it. Does it have its drawbacks? A few. People don't like the weeds that come up through it. But you can have a million seeds in your hand. So if you don't have any seeds, and seeds will, you know, germinate, then we don't have any life. Seeds are made to continue. You know, weeds are for a reason. We keep the majority of them down, but water does percolate down. So that's where you do get occasional weeds that come up.
Yeah.
But
yeah, everybody wants maintenance free. It's never going to happen, right?
Well, not 100%.
Not
100%. Yeah. I mean, metal is, concrete is kind of, but not really, because concrete is even somewhat porous. I mean, oil's penetrated. Also,
I see all the time people say, you know, about concrete, like, it's not about if it's going to crack, it's about when it's going to crack.
Oh, 100%.
So,
yes, you know, yes. And that's what kind of fascinated me with the decorative concrete, because you could come in and score those lines and make it part of the design, because all concrete cracks. Mm-hmm. You know, the lines that are put in every 10 foot, those are controlled cracks. Mm-hmm. So you try to force it to crack in those areas.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And it will happen. But even at my property next door, I mean, I see the mechanic there now, and my beautiful concrete is now... has oil on it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, no different than turf. I mean, it will have weeds, that need to be maintained a little bit, but that's about it.
Totally.
Yeah.
So now you have Turf Casa, right? So tell me about that. You've grown Texas Turf.
Yes.
It's when and why did you want to start Turf Casa?
Well, we started out as installers and in purchasing turf. And through the years, we've developed relationships with the factories. And now we have two that we deal with specifically that are over in Europe that we have an exclusive in this area for very good product. But a lot of other installers didn't want to purchase from us because we were installers and they felt that we were competing with them. So we went ahead and decided to go ahead and rebrand and sell under Turf Casa. And so with that, we're starting to sell to other contractors. And we provide whatever they might need. We have expertise if they need help with that. Other than that, we provide all the nails, staples, sand, turf, glue, tape, everything else that's needed, you know, in the process.
Yeah.
So that's rather new. We have our own separate location that it's all done, but we're about to finalize and clean a few things up over there and get it all 100% ready. Then we'll start really pushing that. So next year, we're very optimistic about that.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah.
So how do you feel? Because I know a lot of contractors, some contractors are great with the networking, right? Mm-hmm. They love to meet people and learn, and they have that abundance mindset.
Yes.
Other people are like, you know, they don't want anything to do with you because they feel like you're going to steal their business or something like that.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So it's an interesting model you have because, like, obviously, you want to do the installs as well, but for the ones you don't get, you want to sell them turf.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Crazy. Yeah, yeah. Well, I've never really looked at people that are in the same industry as my competition. I mean, I've always, you know, use the example. I mean, there's gas stations everywhere. I mean, there's hamburger stands everywhere. So our only competition, I've always told our staff, is with ourselves.
Yeah.
I mean, our staff handles clients very well. We're very polite. We answer the phone. Those things are very important.
Yeah.
You
just
know,
answering the phone, huh?
Yes.
That's actually interesting because I'm a big Sam Walton guy. Mm-hmm. I like Sam Walton a lot, mm-hmm. founder of Walmart. Mm-hmm. And I've read a lot of his books and listened to a lot of podcasts about him. Mm-hmm. And their main thing was growth through customer service, mm-hmm. you know?
Yes.
And so it's interesting about that CFO. That's amazing.
Yes.
By the way, that's amazing.
Yes.
Growth through customer service. I think that's a huge separator.
Oh, definitely.
You know?
Definitely. I mean, we speak Spanish. A lot of our clients really, you know, like that. We go and do warranty work. Mm-hmm. You know, it's when you have problems, you need to go out and really take care of things. We warranty, or we don't warranty, but we do repairs for other companies mm-hmm. that they can't get the original company to go out for.
Yeah.
So that's another growth of what we see in that. I totally agree. Is customer service is really, really helpful.
That's important.
Yeah.
So what's the goal and vision with Texas Turf and then Turf Casa?
Mm-hmm. Well, Texas Turf, we are going after larger and larger jobs. The smaller residential we're kind of getting out of a little bit, mm-hmm. Preferably. That's kind of our direction.
Why is that?
Because we have everything set up to be able to handle large jobs.
Okay.
So some of the jobs we're doing are rather large now.
Totally. Tell us about them.
And so they're just, you know, not everybody can handle 100,000 or 150 or 200,000 square foot job.
Yeah.
Okay. We can, you know, we have all the infrastructure, we have the equipment, we have the warehousing, we have the staff to be able to, and the expertise to be able to handle those types of jobs. So those are the jobs that we prefer to do. And some of the smaller jobs, our end goal is to give the majority of them to people that buy from Turf Casa. Mm-hmm. So the people that buy from us, they can also go out and install these smaller jobs for us as we do larger jobs.
So you kind of broker them away.
Exactly.
Interesting.
Yes.
You're just all about giving.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's a win-win situation, right?
Totally.
So they buy from us, they grow their business, mm-hmm. you know, and it's fine.
Totally.
It's fine as far as that goes. This next few months, Stefan is going to put quite a bit of energy into going out and networking and meeting with a lot of people mm-hmm. to expand our Turf Casa aspect, which is the wholesale.
That's great.
Yeah. So that's what he plans on doing with that. Texas Turf, we're just expanding, dealing with more and more of the bigger builders as far as that goes in Texas.
That's like developments, yeah?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Any of the larger developments are what we're more interested in doing now.
Totally.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you see Turf Casa being like a nationwide thing?
Well, I don't see us necessarily having multiple locations all throughout the United States. I don't see that.
Yeah.
But I'm only part of it. And I'm glad that I'm able to have three very competent people that will make more decisions on that than me as they grow.
Totally.
And so if they decide that that's the direction that they want to go, then that's fine. Do I see that? Not so much right now. There's just a lot of logistics that would go into that.
Totally.
And I personally do not want to deal with that.
Not to start a trucking company.
Yes, you really do. So I'll let Stefan and Ivana and Maximilian decide if they want to go. All of Texas is, as far as I'm concerned, is big enough for us.
That's massive.
Yes.
I saw on the sign, Texas Turf, Dallas, Houston, yes. San Antonio. So yes. That's kind of the next goal as well.
Yes. So that's enough is, you know, the four biggest cities here.
Totally.
Yeah. And then all the outlying areas and everything. So as we do the installs and we do the wholesale and we do the other cities, those other three cities are fine far as that goes.
It's massive.
And we could already do work in those cities, mm-hmm. Houston, Dallas, San Antonio. As far as selling to them, currently we don't have locations there. I've toyed with the idea of doing that, but we haven't decided to fully go with that yet.
Totally.
Yeah.
Good. That's exciting.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and tell me about the new the piece of land you got over here.
Oh.
Because that's fun.
Yes. Yes, it is. So it's basically 2.5 acres.
Yeah.
And did a lot of work to get it to its point. But again, it's having that vision. You asked about that vision. Mm-hmm. A lot of people would not have the vision that this had, you know, having to take out over 140 yard containers of trash, spending 2 months in cleaning up this property.
Okay.
But now it's to the point of just being very, very nice. It's on the top of a hill. And with it being set up the way that I am, we're doing self-storage in part of it. We're doing pickleball so I can train and really have courts available here, mm-hmm. and train other people at the high level for pickleball. And then being that we install padel courts, mm-hmm. so I may end up going, I haven't decided, but I may end up going with about 6 courts of padel now.
Wow.
Yes. And that's changed since the last time I talked with you.
Totally.
And the reason why is the popularity of it is just through the roof.
Do you have the pickleball courts done over there?
No, I'm waiting to form in the rest of the concrete for the first padel court.
Okay.
And then I'm going to do all 3 at the same time because they're going to be with asphalt. So I have to wait on that. So hopefully in the next week or so, the concrete is done.
Yeah.
And then I'll go from there.
Dang, that's insane.
Yeah.
Yeah, Troy's you're on the pro circuit, right?
Yes. So it's been fun. Tennis was my passion back in the day and for most of my life. And then I had to quit about 45. And then I found pickleball a few years ago, and a lot of tennis players really, really do well, especially at the beginning.
Totally.
So last year I started to do quite well, and then I fell down here at the warehouse, fractured my elbow. I was out for about 7 months. But this last October, I took it very serious, and this year I've been playing on the Senior Pro Tour. Didn't win much at first, and now I'm close to winning my first tournament. I just got a silver a couple weeks ago.
Nice. Where was that?
And that was in Arkansas.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So this year has been all about training. I really am looking forward to next year to really competing. Mm. So I hope to really be, my goal is to be at least in the top 10, if not in the top 5 in the United States.
It's amazing.
Yeah. So it's something that I try to do every day. So over at the property, we'll have those set up. We'll have the padel court set up, and it's just going to be a nice, fun go-to place.
So, did this land just become available? Like,
yes.
And you were just like, let's, you know, maybe we should just do this, or did you always have this idea in mind of creating?
Well, even right here, I have numerous properties. Okay. So I've just been trying to clean up this area.
Okay.
I mean, it's been an area that has been pretty run down, to say the least.
And it's in like a nice part of...
It is.
You know?
It is.
What is this place considered?
This is called Lakeway.
This is Lakeway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so...
It's in like one of the nicest places in Austin.
It really is. Across the street are multi-million dollar homes right on the lake.
Totally.
And then over here used to be, there is a lot of, the police didn't want to even come over here at 20 years ago.
Really?
Yeah. I bought this one 20 years ago.
Has this always been Texas turf?
No. Oh. It was just my own personal building for a while, and then it was for the decorative concrete, and then I just used it for personal storage. And then I bought various other properties here. Yeah. So then even the road, there was never a road. So in Lakeway, they were getting rid of all of the millings.
Mm-hmm.
So I've did close to about a mile of roads out here.
You did it?
Well, I instigated it, put it that way.
Totally.
Yeah. So there's a lot of...
I should give you a road. Folks,
road. Well, they do plan on actually doing the roads here to specs.
Yeah.
But they were undrivable.
Totally.
They were literally undrivable out here. So we've actually gave it some life now where you can actually drive on something fairly smooth.
Good.
Which is nice. So, yeah, they just kind of dropped everything, and we worked together with the neighbors and everything else and kind of got it manageable out here.
But yeah, I think it's cool that you have this new one set up, right? Because you're making a little bit of money off the storage units.
Yes.
Right? So bringing in revenue that way.
Yes.
And then you have it really for your training and for fun.
Yes.
And then are you still doing that basketball court?
So that I'm kind of on the fence. It depends on how many padella courts I put up.
Mm-hmm.
So I know he wants to still go through with it, but I'm just on the fence. If I end up doing another 5 padel courts, I may not do it. So I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm still kind of on the fence as far as that goes. I'm still communicating with him.
What about shade for all those?
For the padel?
Yeah.
Yeah. So the one court will be by the trees, which is nice.
Yeah.
The other, I am going to be landscaping and fixing it up that way.
Okay.
Yeah. And I'm investigating what will be the best bet when it comes to shade, you know, for that. So it's a bit of a challenge. I reached out to a friend of mine that does a lot of big tree transplants.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see what we can do. But yeah, those bottom courts, there won't be any, quote, instant shade.
Mm-hmm.
I've considered in the common areas putting up some wind sails or something like that.
Totally.
Yeah. And I'm going to landscape it and make it all nice with the turf and whatnot. So it'll be a fun go-to place.
Yeah, it will be.
Yeah.
That'll be cool.
Definitely. Yes.
What other projects do you have going on?
Well, just with Texas Turf, we just constantly have a lot of projects between all of our salespeople that we're working on. It's been a great year so far. So I almost feel like it's time to take a breather.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've really pushed a lot this year. It's important to just sit back and relax sometimes. And I think that might be maybe December, maybe a little bit of November, to just sit back and regroup and put our plans together for 25.
That's amazing.
Yeah. But I would say that we've, you know, met or exceeded our goals for this year, which is very good.
Did you have a goal you want to share?
No, not a numbers goal.
Yeah.
I would say, yes, we did have a goal as to the area to get all of our logistics set up,
mm-hmm.
to get all of our properties, you know, with the nice fences everywhere and
totally.
To get everything secured. In fact, as we speak, someone's going to be coming here and redoing this the outside of this building, so it ties in with all of my other buildings.
Nice.
And then we're going to be reskinning the turf building over there. So as we grow, we're kind of, you know, changing things, upgrading a little bit.
Yeah, that was the thing I was super impressed with when we first came out here, was seeing everything you guys have.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I was just like, man, if you just get customers out here,
yes,
people are on the fence maybe.
Yes.
And they just see all this stuff that you have. It's like, man, these guys are legit.
Yes.
You know, because sometimes it's hard to tell.
As a consumer.
Yes. Who's legit, who's not.
Yes.
It's really tough.
Most definitely. Most definitely. And I'm to the point that I try to convey, but not everybody's in that that space. But a lot of times, you have to pay a little more because you get a better value. And there's nothing worse than to have a contractor come out and they try to shortchange you.
Totally.
We have never, ever shortchanged anybody. I've been in business over 40 years. Never, ever have I ever shortchanged anybody. I've always looked for the best interest of clients, you know? And in fact, I would really like to start implementing. I thought of it a couple weeks ago, what I used to do with Aloha Landscape. I would always do something extra. So say we, you know, we're doing a turf install, I would go and buy a couple, you know, six packs or a couple flats of annual flowers or something and put them out just to give that little extra.
Totally. I like that.
You know, and that's something that I would like to do here is when we're doing jobs is to start doing something like that where we just give them a little extra.
Yeah, that's nice.
Because it's the little things that are so important.
Yeah.
I'll never forget this place that we used to go to, my wife and myself, before our children. We'd go to the nursery, and this particular nursery always had cold apples for you.
Nice.
And we would just go there just for the cold apples and walk around. Yeah. But it's about having a nice experience.
Totally. It is the experience.
Yes.
For sure.
Yes. And that's what we want here at Texas Turf, at Turf Casa, at over at, we haven't decided on the property name over there, whether it be Troy Land or Tessum Land or whatnot, because Tessum is my corporation name. It stands for Troy, Elisa, Stefan, Ivana, and Max.
I love it.
So we don't know if it's going to be one of those, or we'll see.
I like Troy Land.
Yeah, it's kind of neat.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, so we may end up doing that. But, you know, having nice music there and having a...
Yeah, like you said, the food trucks.
The food trucks and whatnot. Yes, exactly.
Do you ever get stressed out? You're just such a chill guy.
I try not to.
Yeah.
Put it that way.
Did you used to?
I used to not at all for a long time. But then when you get more and more put on your plate, it can be tough. Yes. When you're growing, you have children you're dealing with business, you're dealing with a lot of things like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's a challenging time for men. And for women, you know, bringing children up.
Totally.
So exercise is always very good. I used to run a lot every morning, which was very helpful. But I try to be more and more chill and more relaxed. Having a good crew around me is very beneficial when it comes to that. Do I still get a lot of calls? Well, yeah, it's kind of a blessing though, because they respect my opinion, you know, which is fine. Will I ever retire? I don't think so.
I think you're having fun.
I, I quote retired when I was, what, 40, 41 when I moved here. I forget exactly the age, for a couple years. Mm-hmm. And no, that would drive me nuts.
What age did you first have Stefan?
So Stefan was born in 96. So that would be, I was 34.
Okay.
Yeah. 34. That's a good age. Then Ivana was at 38. Mm-hmm. And Maximilian was at 42.
Yeah. See, those are good ages.
Yes.
Because you really gave yourself time to really establish business and make some money.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
But I know other people who have kids young. Like, I'm 28.
Mm-hmm.
And I think around there would be good for me too, you know?
Well,
what an established. But it is amazing how you have gone about it though, because I've so many people, again, from the things that I listen to and people that I try to learn from,
mm-hmm.
a lot of their regrets at the end of their career, even though they built great businesses, is they didn't get enough time with family.
100%.
You know, and you've like created such success.
Yes. But also gives me goosebumps.
Also put in so much time with your family.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Like, you've done everything right.
Yes. Well, that's a blessing. It gives me goosebumps. And because that is the blessing, because I remember when I was in the shoe business and it was like, we were doing well. Yeah. We were doing very well. And I would go to the World of Shoes in Vegas. And some of the big players, they had their own private jets and things like that in the industry when Skechers was rather new. And there was various other vendors that I knew that dealt in my type of industry. And I remember them telling, I forget his actual name, but I remember the conversation with him very dearly. And it always stuck in my head. He's like, it was with the David J Group. And they were out of Rocky Mountain, North Carolina. And he says, Troy, he says, man, he says, don't be like me. And here's a guy that has a huge, huge business, private jet, you know, doing really well financially. So my kids hate me. I says, what? He says, yeah. They know they're not a priority.
Yeah.
They hate me. I can't buy them, you know?
It's crazy.
And that always stuck in my head. Just like you, grasping for different bits and pieces of knowledge, and I was the same way.
Yeah.
And you have to embrace those moments, you know, right. Those types of things like Walmart and different other things that come in and you pick that, and that becomes you. That becomes your values.
Totally.
You know, and you pass that on to your children. But then they grab that and then they just, you know, step on that and make that better and better.
Mm-hmm.
So that was always very, very important to me. It's like, wow. And that's why we looked at homeschooling our children.
Yeah. Did you homeschool?
We did. We homeschooled Stefan until ninth grade. And at ninth grade, he started high school because he wanted to have, quote, more friends.
Yeah.
Well, at the end of the day, they're acquaintances. But when you're that age, you know, you kind of...
It's like you have all the friends in the world.
Exactly. And you think they're going to be with you forever.
Totally. Yeah.
You know? But then, so it was a tough time for him.
Yeah.
It really was. So then Ivana, we homeschooled her off and on also because we traveled a lot together
mm-hmm.
on the off seasons.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when people like, we wouldn't go during the busy time, we'd go during the off time because we would homeschool them.
That's amazing.
And then it came to Maximilian and it's so funny that he was so mature. We sent him to elementary school and he was there about a week and he's like, Dad, I don't want to go here. There's just a bunch of kids with runny noses. It's like, oh my God.
Hilarious.
So then he did go for, I think, about 3 or 4 months, middle school, adapted well, did a great job with that. But other than that, he never wanted to go to school. He was very unconventional.
Yeah.
But now if you look at things, there's a lot of people that are making that movement of trying to have responsibility for your children's education and everything, and not just sending them off to school, but taking responsibility.
Yeah, one of this family I know who lives up in Liberty Hill, they were mm-hmm. my first customer for Your Haven, for the uh-huh. design company. And I love them so much. She really, her name's Natalia, mm-hmm. the Kim family, Sum and Kim, he's a big realtor here.
Uh-huh.
They have really inspired me to, one, have a great big family, but also they homeschool their kids too.
Nice.
No, very like conservative family, and yes. they love God, and like,
yes.
just, you know, they inspired me to do that as well.
Yes.
Because you're totally right about that. You know, there's a yes. lot of crazy things going on.
There are. And so we did have some other friends in California that they ended up starting to homeschool their children, which yeah. was wonderful. The welders that we have, Nick, he homeschools his children.
Yeah.
Elisa with the dance group has a woman in that she works with in Houston that her 3 children were starting to have a lot of not positive experiences. So she decided to homeschool her own children.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, it's very important for the children to be around all ages.
Yeah.
People think, oh, well, they need to be around the kids their own age. No, they need to be around all ages.
Totally.
They need to adapt and to learn. Children are smart.
Yeah. Our head designer as well, Scott,
mm-hmm.
He lives in College Station. He homeschools his mm-hmm. kids as well.
Nice.
And the way they do it is pretty cool, though, because I think it's like twice or 3 times a week they get together with the other homeschool mm-hmm. kids as well. So it's not like you're like trapping them in the house and they yes. don't do anything.
Yes, yes, know, right? Exactly.
I think that's kind of like a big misconception.
Oh, yeah, it. Definitely.
You know, they definitely. Actually get to do way more and experience
yes,
way more
they
life.
They do. They
you
know? Do.
Not yeah. trapped in the classroom.
Yeah, they really do.
Yeah.
Yes.
Man, this was great.
Yes.
You know, if you got any kind of last things to say, any maybe advice. Let's go advice to your kids for the next, you know, let's say you retire today. What mm-hmm. what kind of advice do you give them to take over everything you guys got going on?
I think they're probably even, I wouldn't say better at it, but they can definitely always be better at it, is be fast to listen and slow to speak. Because as they deal with more and more situations and whatnot, they really need to respect one another even more and more, especially in business and in family. Mm. So what we try to do here is we try to not say dad, son, daughter, that type of thing. We try to keep business and personal, you know, home family life is home family life. But what I would just like to tell them is to just really enjoy the journey, you know, this thing called life. And they have a wonderful family. They have a wonderful business, and to just uplift one another and to uplift others in society, and which is just a wonderful thing. Yeah. Be wise, you know, don't waste your time with people that are not appreciative. Just move on, ignore, move on. Yeah. So, that's probably about it, is just to, be very fast to listen and slow to speak. I mean, fast to listen,
Yes,
that is and true. Slow to speak.
Yeah,
yeah, definitely. And that way they respect everybody else's opinions, because that's how things are going to continue growing. There's not one person that can just run everything. You need to learn to delegate.
Totally.
And the more we delegate, the more we have quality people around us. I mean, just like with your company, I mean, we really haven't expanded as much as we want to, but it's a beginning. And what do I see? I see a lot of future in our partnership and our partnerships with other people too, as we do the designs,
yeah,
as we bring in different elements. So we're doing a design for one of their breweries,
yeah,
and they want some sales and they want some other things to do and whatnot. So we're really excited about working with your company and helping our company grow and to be the go-to people here in Central Texas. That's all we want to be, is to be someone that's well-respected, mm-hmm, that does what they're supposed to, and that offers fair value. We can never be the lowest price company around.
Mm-hmm.
Because lowest price is for a reason,
yeah,
you know. But we want to offer everything that clients would want.
Yeah.
And it just brings back in one quick note in closing is I remember when I had a Aloha Landscape, and I would say that all of my clients became my friends. And as I would go around San Diego, different places and whatnot, I would see my older clients, and they were like friends, because they were always so happy with the product that we gave them. And that's a foundation of our business, is that I just want everybody to really be happy and to just say, hey, call them, you know. And then with your wonderful designs, now they can see what it's going to look like.
Oh, yeah.
Which is very important.
Yeah.
Very important. Yeah.
I appreciate you, Troy.
Of course.
Thanks for chatting with me.
Same
I feel blessed
both ways.
That we had a great conversation, and
yes,
I learned a lot, to be honest.
Yes.
And,
well, every
I feel
day.
The same way too. I wanna grow relationships with our clients and our customers, and keep growing with you guys. You know.
Yes.
I love chatting with Stefan and Ivana. I don't really know Maximilian too much, but I'm sure
yes.
I will.
Yes.
And really, the whole team.
Yes, he's taught me a lot at his young age. And I understand where he's coming from. He's one that doesn't give anybody the time of day until they earn it.
Yeah, I like that. I'm not good at that.
Until they earn it.
Because I feel like I'm a little more like you, where I'm just like, kind of, I try to be giving.
Yes,
giving,
yes.
But I like that too.
Yes, because it's important. It's important for people to earn the respect. And Maximilian is that way. But once you do earn his time, so to speak,
mm-hmm,
it's wonderful. But yeah, he is busy all the time though.
Yeah.
He really is. He's done amazing things. Yes, he is.
Yeah, I bet.
Yes, yes. So constantly teaching himself, learning various things and whatnot. So
yeah,
it's very important. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wonderful.
All right.
Appreciate you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Of course.